All right, well, good morning. Does anyone still have any New Year's resolutions surviving? Actually, don't raise your hand, because if you do, the rest of us are going to judge you. Not really. Just kidding, but not really kidding either. So here we are in the second month, only the second month of the new year, and my guess is that our New Year's resolutions are all probably dead by now. You know, the most popular one every year is always we're going to get healthy, right? So going to eat healthy food, get more exercise, and be on that healthy living track. But then sooner or later, we have, resistance to that. Something's going to change. We run into opposition of some kind, and then we fall off the path. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's actually something like that I'm going to point out happening in Jesus' life. We've been in this series, Mark's Gospel, The Way to Follow Jesus, looking at what was going on in his life in the first few chapters. And I think he was actually encountering some resistance in following the path that God had laid out for him. So a couple weeks ago, you might remember Titus pointed out that the Pharisees, the Pharisees, they're like the Jedi masters of the law. They're so good at knowing every little thing about the law, not only the law that God gave, but then they added a bunch more rules on top of that, and they're just excellent at it. They're always watching everybody's performance. And Jesus, Titus told us he ate with some sinners. Matthew invited him over for dinner. His house is full of sinners. And the Pharisees saw that and they jumped on it. So they started judging him, ridiculing him because of that. And then last week we saw with Brad that Jesus actually, he and his disciples broke some more rules. These rules were related to the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath day. And again, Pharisees are ridiculing and judging him for that. And today we're going to start in Mark chapter 3. So in Mark chapter 3, you can see on the screens or read along in your Bible. Starting in verse 1, we see it says, another time, so here we go again. That another time, I think, just lets you know. Jesus is going to do it again. Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, so which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. And of course they're going to remain silent, right? He's here saying, okay, masters of the law, which one is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? So clearly they can't answer this question because we already see they're there for the wrong reasons. They're there to accuse him. So now in verse 5, Jesus looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Again, that's so ironic. Jesus is here giving life and healing on the Sabbath, yet the keepers of the law, they want to kill Jesus on the Sabbath. So that's some very serious resistance, right, to what Jesus is doing. But Jesus didn't let any of this opposition stop him from staying on the path that God had him on, the reason he sent him. Jesus persisted in the face of this resistance. So there's three things I notice here about that. First, Jesus knew resistance was coming. He knew why the resistance was coming, and he knew what was coming after it was over. So we can actually think about those three points and also apply them in our own lives. And when we do it, we can then, it will help us meet resistance with persistence. So again, we can remember these three points and it will help us meet resistance with persistence. We know it's coming, we know why it comes, and we know what comes after. So first, we know resistance is coming when we follow Jesus. He told us this. He told us we would face troubles in John 16:33, which says, I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So there it is, right? In writing. It's clear, it's simple. I'm going to have trouble in this world. So now I'm informed. I know in advance. So why am I always so shocked and confused when I have trouble? So, you know, this kind of trouble, this resistance can come in many different ways. It can be financial. You know, financial struggles are not easy. And sometimes they make you think, you know, is this following Jesus really worth it? Or what about relational problems? Have you had any relational issues? Have you been hurt and experienced some pain in relationships or maybe been betrayed? That can really make things hard. And you think, you know, so where are you, God? I'm just trying to follow you here. And then what about physical health? You know, physical health is a hard one when it happens to us or to a loved one. And we think, you know, we're trying to follow you, God. We're trying to follow Jesus. What's going on here? Where are you? And eventually we ask, why? Why is this happening? Why so much resistance? Well, we know why resistance comes, and we can read about it in Romans 5, 3, and 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Rejoice when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So this is how we grow, right? Endurance, character, and hope. We don't just get those things. They grow in us through testing. I mean, it's just like physically speaking, right? If we're going to get stronger, what do? We push through resistance, through hard things. You know, push-ups, pull-ups, lifting weights, that's resistance. And we're literally pushing through it. And when you do that, you know, your muscles get nice and big, you get strong. So spiritually, it's the same thing. Resistance grows our ability to persevere, our character, and our hope. When we persist through resistance, our faith grows. So we know resistance is coming, we know why it comes, and we know what comes after. This resistance is actually temporary, and it doesn't last very long. It doesn't compare to what's to come. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul wrote this, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So that tough time that you're going through, it's small and doesn't last very long. It's temporary. But of course, you know, it doesn't feel that way when you're right in the middle of it, right? So that's why we've got to remember this and think about, well, what comes after? What comes after this life? Our imaginations can't even really comprehend what it means, eternal glory that lasts forever. It's too good. But then sometimes we don't have to wait till this life is over. Sometimes we receive some blessings here in this life, maybe a little taste of what's to come, a little foreshadowing of what eternal glory might be like. But I'm going to stop right here because this is actually a pretty simple lesson, right? It's not difficult to understand what I've said so far. The difficulty is in living it out. Pushing through resistance and staying focused on following Jesus, that's the hard part. So I want to encourage you today with some real life stories from some friends of mine. I met these people when I was traveling in Guatemala with one of our partners, Orphan Outreach, and they are Alfredo and Irene Salazar. Will you welcome to the stage with me, Alfredo and Irene Salazar? Thanks so much for being here, Alfredo. All right, so Alfredo and Irene, so glad that you're here. So they started the first of its kind in the nation of Guatemala, a school for people with Down syndrome. And among other jobs, Alfredo is also the pastor of Life Church, right?
Yeah, thank you. That's the church that we're pastoring right now, and we're very happy because we are just one point away to be Life Point, because the name of our church is Life, so we have so much in common.
That's good. That's good. So over the years, you know, we've become friends. You've visited here several times. Many of you have visited Guatemala in person. You've met them in Guatemala. We've sent some teams there. In fact, some of our people in our Hugs ministry and volunteers have gone down a couple different summers and done VBS camps at the school. So that's been great. And you've therefore developed a really special connection and bond to Sandy McCann, the founder of our Hugs ministry and our Hugs ministry itself. And this is actually a special weekend. That's why you're here, because this is the 20th anniversary of our Hugs ministry. So we're very excited about that. And we actually had a Hugs 20th anniversary ball right here Friday night. So we're going to show you a quick recap video of what that was like. Let's take a look.
Sunday morning, we were passing Liberty High School, and there was a sign that said Carroll Community Church. Let's start Easter. And that was in 1998.
Yeah, David, there was no program or class for David at that time for special needs. So he would be in service with us, and he would sit there very quietly, sometimes with his head down, and his eyes closed. So that showed us that there was a need for special needs ministry or some type of class for him.
To be honest, as parents, you just want to be able to go to church and hear the sermon and not worry about what's going on right next to you.
Right.
So that was part of the initial starting of it, is let us go to church and fill up and then have something for him where he can learn about it at his level. God put stones in front of me for about 2 years of just confirmation after confirmation. Okay, this is where you're gonna go. This is what I want you to do. I got to go out to Willow Creek. I hooked onto a trip with Children's Ministry, and I saw what they did for special needs out there in their ministry. I talked to Saddleback. I went and I visited McLean Bible. So just little bits and stones that God put in front of me to say, okay, this is where you need to go.
One, two, three.
Been so faithful. 20 years ago, God brought a few families together who wanted a place for our children with disabilities to belong, not to be judged by their appearance, but to be recognized for their hearts, and to have a place where they could fall in love with Jesus and to grow in their faith.
So that was a fun party, wasn't it? So I'm glad that you got to be here to celebrate with us. But I'm also thankful that you get to be here and share with our whole church family about how you've been following Jesus and pushing through resistance along the way and what you've been doing. So I want to go back to the beginning when you first started the Down Guatemala School. Can you share with us, why did you start the Down Guatemala School?
Sure. 2 years before Alfredo was born, we were in a church, and this lady come. Her name is Lucy, and she came and told me, Pastor, I have this word from the Lord for you too. And the Lord says you're going to have another baby boy. And I was very happy because we already have two daughters. So I was happy. I went with my wife and I told her, the Lord says we're going to have another baby boy and he's going to be a huge blessing for many, many people. So she told me, okay, I'm going to wait until the Lord told me to have another baby. But 2 years later, she got pregnant and Alfredo Jr. came and we were so happy. 7 months later, and this is very rare, 7 months later, we find out that he has Down syndrome. And we found it in a very rude way. Maybe you want to share that.
Yes, the doctor was really rude. He said something like, your baby has trisomy 21. Haven't you noticed that? And he starts saying negative things about Down syndrome. And you know, in Guatemala, to have a child with a disability, it's kind of challenging. I know it's challenging to have a everywhere, but having a baby, some people think they it's a punishment because you have seen. Some other people think it's a curse, and of course it's not. And it's like in our country, we are like 40 years behind the U.S. because we have no programs, no support from the government. Families are on their own, and that is really sad. Imagine if that happens in the city. In the rural areas, it's much worse.
Yeah, it was difficult for us to realize that the son that we already have for 7 months, now it's something different. But we knew that everything works for good. Everything God's works for good, and we went to a pastor's meeting. I remember we went to a pastor's meeting, and I have Alfredo Jr. with me, and there was a Jewish rabbi in the meeting teaching. And in the coffee break, I come to him and I ask him, what do you think about intellectual disabilities? And he asked me, why? Because we just find out that our baby has Down syndrome. And then he says, congratulations. And I was like, what? Everybody else was saying like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, why is this happening to you? You know, feeling sorry for us. So he told us, congratulations, because the Lord must love you so much that he sent a private teacher of love, patience, faith to your house. And that totally changed the perspective. That totally changed the way how we were seeing our son, Alfredo. We took him to a doctor's to do some medical checkups, and we find out that he had 5 defects in his heart. And he needed an open heart surgery. We went to the hospital. They told us, get online, because there is just one hospital in Guatemala where you can get this surgery. After 10 months, I got desperate. I told the girls and Irene, grab some clothes, put it in the bags. We're going to the U.S. to see if we can have the surgery there. We came here. We went to the hospital in Milwaukee. And they told us the same diagnosis, and they told us we can do the surgery right now, but it's going to cost $100,000. Cash, insurance, check, credit card. And I was like, no. They told us that there is a good doctor in Guatemala who used to work in Children's Boston Cardiac Pediatric Unit, and he's going to help us. And they told us, go back to Guatemala, get the surgery there, because it's your language, your family, your country. You're going to be fine. So that gave us some peace in our heart. But one night I was driving back to the house that we were staying at, and I felt the Lord was telling me, one of the purposes for Alfredo to born with Down syndrome is that you go back to Guatemala and open a nonprofit organization, a ministry that can help all these families that you have been seeing during these last 10 months in the hospitals. So I got up to Irene and I told her, I know what is going to happen with Alfredo's life. Let's open a nonprofit, an organization that helps all these families. It's a good wife. She asked the right questions. With what money are we going to do that? Okay. So I told her, what if we sell our house and we plant that money in the ministry? And that pastor is how we started Down Guatemala.
Wow. Sold your house. That is quite a leap of faith. You sold your house to get the money to start the ministry. And I think you said after about 2 months, you had 12 to 14 students.
Yeah.
That's great. So now you've got it started. You've got a building, I think you found, to use during the week. But then I think you started running into some resistance. Is that right?
Totally. We thought that when we started the ministry, people will start coming and say, hey, here is some money, here is some resources. But no, that's not the reality. So after 2.5-3 years, we run out of the money. You know, the house, the money of the house will not last forever. So I get a job, and I was working as a national director for another Christian nonprofit in Guatemala. And with my salary, we were paying the salary of some of the teachers and doing bingos, raffles, whatever we can to get funds. But at some point, we run out of money. So I told Irene, I'm sorry, honey, but I think we need to shut down the school. I mean, there is no money, and we can't do, you know, keep doing this. So one night, I found her. She said she was praying.
I was praying.
No. You were fighting with the Lord. Sure, tell them.
Well, I was very emotional, and I told him, you told us to do this, and this belongs to you, so this is your problem. You deal with it.
That's one way. That's good.
That sounds familiar. So I said, okay. The next day, I got a call from my boss, headquarters office here in Denver, in the U.S., and he told me, Alfredo, I want to send you a gift, an offering for your ministry with the children with Down syndrome. So I told my wife, he's going to send at least $500. I know him. And he has money. So with that money, we can, you know, rehire at least one or two teachers for 2 or 3 months. And I was happy. So a couple of days later, I got a call from the bank, and they say, hey, Mr. Salazar, you have to come to the bank because you're expecting a wire transfer? Yes, sure. Okay, you have to come and sign some papers. And I say, why? I never signed papers to get a wire transfer. So, well, above $10,000, we need to have your signature. Are you expecting $10,000? Sure, of course. Give me those papers. I remember I went to the parking lot and I called Irene and I was crying. And I was telling her, honey, call the whole staff, rehire them. We're back in business because the Lord provides.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. That's really amazing. That's very, very encouraging for us to hear. So instead of quitting and walking away when you hit opposition like that, you really leaned into God and fought with him or asked him, prayed for him to help you. So now you've got money, you're trusting God, and everything has worked out, right?
No. I mean, we've been in this ministry for 18 years now, and during all this time, we found, you know, problems. We struggled with finances, and
every year
we have to do something to make it. I remember one year we need to pay we use an external accountant office, and we need to pay for the whole year, and we got no money. So I call her and I say, hey, you are so lucky, lady, because you're going to get paid for the whole year with a nice flat screen TV, 42 inches, remote control, because that was what we have. So I take our TV from the wall and I took it to the accountant office. And she was like, okay, I got it. I like it. And that's the way how we see things. The Lord is giving us talents or giving us things that we can use, but we can also, you know, put him back into the ministry. I remember also that once we hired this contractor to do some remodeling, and we didn't have the money, the whole money to pay him. So I told my daughter, my second daughter, Irene, please give me your car keys. And she was like, what? Why you need this, my car keys? Honey, this is a family ministry, so I need to pay this contractor, and we're going to use your car. And she was like, okay, Dad, here. And she gave me her car keys, and we paid the contractor with the car, my daughter's car. But again, it's just talents that the Lord is giving us to use it on his kingdom.
Well, I know you've got a lot of stories like that because you shared a lot of them with me. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I love hearing about them. I love the fact that, you know, we get to be brothers and sisters in ministry with you. But I really love the fact that we're friends, you know, and you've developed friendships here at the church over the years. And there's actually one family in particular I'm thinking of that you've become good friends with, and that would be the Granadas, Michael and Lori Granada, and then their son Michael and daughter Colleen. Can you tell us a little bit about your friendship with them?
Well, immediately when we're staying at their house, and we've been there for several times, and immediately when Alfredo Jr. knew Michael, it was like they knew each other for many years. And we have seen how blessed they have been with the Hugs ministry. Mm-hmm. Also, the Hugs ministry inspired us to do the same thing in our church, to have a ministry for special needs in our church, and to encourage other pastors to do the same thing in their churches. And we are also doing that in some countries in Latin America as well. So we have lots of work to do.
That's great. That's great. It's really great to see how, you know, you've been doing the school Monday through Friday, and then now God is using you not just that way, but even on the weekends in church, developing ministry in church, not just your church, but now you say other churches, even other countries. So, I mean, that's really great to hear how God is expanding your influence that way. I know, you know, like you've said, you've run into a lot of resistance along the way, but you've trusted in Jesus, pushed through, and followed him. And I think now it seems like you're in a bit of a new season, that God is bringing some blessing your way, and you're getting to see some of the fruit of your persistence over the years. And I think a lot of this started with Night to Shine. So if you don't know what Night to Shine is, that is something, it's an event put on by the Tim Tebow Foundation. That is the Tim Tebow that you may recognize from the NFL. He was Heisman Trophy winner, that guy. So he's got a foundation, and they have a thing called Night to Shine. It's a big, fancy, like, prom for people with disabilities and special needs. They do it every February in hundreds of cities, hundreds of churches around the world. So tell us, how does a Night to Shine fit into this new season you're experiencing?
In 2018, we got an invitation to participate in Night to Shine, first Night to Shine in Guatemala City. We say yes. And talking with the TTF, they find out that we also had a school for people with Down syndrome, and Tim Tebow decided to come down to Guatemala and be in our first Night to Shine. And when he saw what we were doing, what we were doing in the church, in the school, he told us, you know what, I'm going to send my board here to Guatemala to see what you guys are doing, because I felt the love and the Holy Spirit in this place. And he sent them. And they came, the whole board came, and they say, well, actually, you can feel the love, you can feel the Holy Spirit in this place, how we can help. And, well, my answer was funds. You can help us with the operational cost. And they start helping us. And next year they ask us, what do you else wanted to do? And we said, another campus. And then next year they say, what else do you need? Another campus. And right now they are covering the whole operation cost of 4 campuses in Guatemala, 1 in the city, 3 in rural areas, and we are serving above 470 individuals, people, babies with intellectual disabilities, not just Down syndrome, but 12 different diagnoses for the glory of the Lord.
That's wonderful. So you're about to open a 5th campus, I understand, right?
We are building a new campus in Guatemala City where we are going to serve about 250 people at the same time. And we, in June, will start to work the 5th campus to the south
That's
of
great.
The city.
That's great. That's amazing. You know, we actually have a team right now, a LifePoint team, happens to be in Guatemala right now. I think we've got some pictures of them. Irene, you're in one of those pictures because you were able to see them before you left to come here to Maryland to visit us. And I think they'll be visiting one of your campuses, right?
They've been there last Wednesday, I guess, and they will be next Tuesday.
All right, tomorrow. Great.
Tomorrow they will be.
Okay, good, good. Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing to hear about this journey you've been on. And before we wrap this up, I want to go back to something you said at the beginning. When you sold your home, so to start it originally, you sold your home to have the money. And ever since then, in 2005, you've been renting an apartment. But I think you have some fun news, right?
Oh, yeah. Last year, the Lord gave us the opportunity to give the down payment for our new home. We're moving next Wednesday. For His glory.
Praise the Lord.
Well, congratulations. I know you're not doing it so you can have your own home, but it is definitely a blessing. So we've been talking about your family a lot. Let's have we've got a picture here of their family. There's the beautiful Salazar family. And there's Alfredo there on the left. And, you know, it makes me think about how if he hadn't been born, would any of this have happened? And it's like the rabbi told you, you have a private teacher of love and patience. And then the woman, Lucy, from your church, 2 years before he was born, told you that you're going to have a son. And she was so right. He would be a blessing to so many people. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you so much for being here and sharing with us. They're going to be out in the lobby for you to talk to them after the service. So please say hello. But let's take a minute and pray as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our friends, the Salazars. I thank you that we can be connected to them through this ministry of hugs. And I thank you for their stories of faith in you. And I thank you that we can be encouraged, that in our own lives, we can keep following you. Even when we hit resistance and tough times, you're with us. Help us to remember this and to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.